We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, it's Scott Miller, national MLB columnist for Bleacher Report, Turner Sports, as well as SiriusXM MLB Network Radio. Scott, thanks for giving us a couple minutes and waking up early with us today.
Hey, Ron. Hey, Chuck. How are you guys today?
Hey, great to have you on. Scott, this NL Central Division race is, I guess it's interesting. I mean, you got the three teams in here. I mean, you got nobody really running away the division, but there's nobody really. Is there anybody of championship form in the division, though?
No, that's a good question. I think, you look at the entire National League, it is hard to see anybody but the Los Angeles Dodgers playing in the World Series for a third consecutive year. To your point about championship form, I think, the whole key is going to be, almost like the NCAA basketball tournament where somebody needs to get hot at the right moment, because I think wire to wire, there's no question the Dodgers are the deepest, the strongest, the best in the league. If all of a sudden, the Brewers start hitting, if the Cubs find some pitching, if St. Louis finds some consistency, and any of that happens, and they go on, one of those teams goes on, one of those runs where they get really hot in September, kind of like the Brewers did last year, and then they took the Dodgers to Game 7. I mean, that's about the only championship form I see right now.
Scott, what do you make of the Chicago Cubs? Because they're so good at Wrigley Field, but they go a couple miles outside of Chicago, and it's like they're the last place team in the NL Central. I've never quite seen anything like it.
Yeah, it's bizarre, isn't it? It's like, they forgot what they don't know how to pack or their suitcases or something. I mean, they get uncomfortable. They don't like the road, the beds on the road. I mean, it's bizarre. Yeah, you're right. I mean, they're 43-19 at home. And yet on the road, they're 25-39, 14 games under 500. I don't know. I mean, they played a wild one last night, by the way, didn't they?
Yeah.
One of those wind-blowing out classic games with the Giants. But, really good move at the trade deadline, obviously. Nick Castellanos has just been a godsend for them. He's really stirred up their lineup. But, the road stuff's bizarre. I mean, pitching's been inconsistent. John Lester's not had his best season. Cole Hamels was out for a while on the injured list. The thing is, nobody in Chicago has any idea. I mean, Joe Maddon will tell you. We can't figure it out. We don't know what the deal is with these home road splits.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is I listened to some Chicago sports talk, and they're calling for Joe Maddon's head if the Cubs miss the postseason. I would expect him to be gone. Maybe even if they make the postseason, he's still gone. What are your impressions of Craig Counsell as manager for the Brewers, especially if the Brewers do miss out on the postseason this year?
Yeah, steady form. I like Craig a lot. I think he's been very good in Milwaukee. It'd help. I mean, I know the pitching numbers are fairly good right now, but I thought last year and this year it would help if they get him another starting pitcher. I think given what he's had to work with on the mound, last year obviously the bullpen was killer. This year, good, but I think to expect the bullpen to rise to the level of what they did last year, going into this year would have been just, it was impossible. I don't think any reasonable person going into this year could have said, Knievel's going to do what he did last year. Jeffers is going to do what he did. Hayter's going to do what he did. And it does look like they worked a couple of those guys too hard last year. But still, that said, Council's been able to mix and match. I think he's got a good feel for the game. I think overall he's been real good, but, to your point, I know, if the Brewers miss the playoffs, there's going to be some people saying, the manager always gets blamed,
yep.
Doesn't he?
Yeah, it's already going on here. You know, you brought up the National League and just how the Dodgers are kind of the class of the National League. I mean, you look at what they're doing this year. Their run differential is crazy. I think they have 12 walk-off wins, so they just keep finding a way to win. When you look around the National League, I know we kind of went over the NL Central. Which team do you think gives them the best run? Is it the Braves, or is it a team maybe like the Nationals who are all of a sudden getting hot?
Yeah, I keep saying the Nationals are the team that could really give somebody trouble because – you know, when Max Scherzer, assuming Max Scherzer gets healthy and comes back, you know, you got Scherzer, Strasburg's had a great year, and Patrick Corbin's tough. I would not want to face those guys in a short playoff series. Atlanta, top to bottom, is in their lineup. You know, they could give people fits with Acuna Jr., you know, and Freddie Freeman, but I don't. Once you get to October, it's pitching, 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 and I'm not sure, outside of Soroka, that Atlanta's that formidable. Washington, for the reasons I mentioned, you know, I think their season hinges on Scherzer and his health, and if he's the Max Scherzer of old, you know, that's the team. I mean, even say they get in as a wild card team, right? Who wants to face Max Scherzer in a one-game playoff? And then you move on, and you got those other horses.
The Brewers, back to them, they have a guy, they have two guys who are going to be probably free agents in the offseason, Mike Moustakas and Yasmani Grandal. They're on one-year deals with Milwaukee. Do you see either one of those guys cashing in, or both guys cashing in, after having all-star-type seasons with the Brewers this year?
Yeah, I see. You would think Grandal would cash in. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, obviously he made an interesting decision over the winter, you know, signing the one-year deal with Milwaukee. You know, and whether catching is such a premium position that, you know, I think odds are better him. You know, we've seen Moustakas 2 years in a row, you know, have to settle for the one-term deal that, you know, he thinks is less, you know, less than he was going to get. And, you know, I think I would say Grandal has a better chance than cashing in on a long-term deal. I will say, you know, where Moustakas is concerned, you know, one thing about all these zillions of home runs that are being hit right now across the game, and we're going to have, you know, not only are we going to have a record-setting year this year, but, you know, the previous record across the majors for most homers in a season was 2017. And this year's total is going to surpass that by like more than 10%. It's crazy how many homers are being hit. Reason I mention that is, you know, within that, and it's how you get to a record like this, we're going to end up with 120 or 30 players with 20 or more homers. So what that does, again, thinking of Moustakas, when everybody in the doggone league is hitting 20 or more homers, that's just going to suppress salaries, you know, I mean, for home run hitters, because, you know, I think that's part of what's happened to Moustakas the last 2 years. But, you know, again, this year he's had a very nice year for himself. But, you know, when push comes to shove on the free agent market this year, you know, I think you're going to see teams that are like, well, you know, I mean, Moustakas is at 31 home runs right now. So granted, that's more than your 20 or so that your garden variety hitters having. But at the same time, it's going to be a case of, you know, clubs, I don't think, are going to go out and pay the big, big, big dollars for a guy like Moustakas that can put the ball in the seats as often as he is, because there's a lot of other guys that are putting the ball in the seats. So that's where I say I think all these home runs are going to suppress some salaries. I think that's what we've seen the last couple of years on the free agent market.
We're talking with Scott Miller, national MLB columnist for Bleacher Report and Turner Sports. And Scott, I'm glad that you brought up the home run totals, because Chuck and I have been arguing over the ball. First question, do you think the ball is juiced?
I say no question. I mean, especially compared to what it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago. I mean, I saw Jose Martinez, the Cardinals right fielder. I couldn't help but notice it. Batting practice one day earlier this year, I think it was in May. I'm in Atlanta. Cardinals are in Atlanta. And I'm just on the field, you know, and he happened to catch my eye because, first of all, Jose Martinez is, you know, like 6'6",
yeah,
and gangly like Big Bird. But he's going from the third base dugout to right field during batting practice. He's going out to take his position. As he's kind of walking. As he's walking across the infield, he's about the shortstop position. He's got a baseball. He bounces it into the ground hard. It comes up about waist level. He catches it one-handed. Bounce again, catch, bounce, catch, up to about waist level. I mean, he looked like an NBA point guard coming down. I mean, bouncing, dribbling a basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, come on. There's so much bounce in these balls.
Right. I have this theory, and tell me if I'm crazy. I think the ball is juiced for big series, right? Like division rivals, like Cubs, Cardinals, ball's juice. Cubs, Brewers at Miller Park. Kyle Schwarber didn't even extend his arms full, and he knocked one out opposite field. And then Yankees, Red Sox. Then for some reason, the Yankees and Orioles, I think they juiced the balls. Am I crazy to think that maybe the ball is only juiced for the bigger games?
Well, I would say you're giving an awful lot of credence to both the deviousness and the intelligence of people in the MLB office to try to manipulate things that way.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. I'd have to look at the numbers. I haven't studied. You know, I mean, you're right. The ball seems to be extra juiced for the Yankees-Orioles series. There's no question. I mean, that's just been ludicrous this year, how many homers the Yankees have bludgeoned against the Orioles and winning, what is it, 16 games in a row against them.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, I think there's no question. Baseball's, you know, they're scratching their heads. They're perplexed. It was a big topic at the All-Star game. You know, Commissioner Rob Manfred spoke at a lunch with the Baseball Writers Association, and, you know, he admits there's a ton of homers. He won't admit that they've done anything with the ball. You know, you've seen, I'm sure, the comments over the summer where he said, you know, the conspiracy theory, and this would jive with your point.
Yeah.
Is, you know, that a year ago, you know, MLB owners bought Rawlings, you know, so the company making the balls is owned by the owners, and that's where a lot of people are like, okay, wait a minute, time out. You know, what Manfred says, look, the owners don't want home runs, you know, they think there's too many. He says there's nothing funny going on, but I would not be surprised if this winter sometime baseball says we're going to deaden the ball a little bit. You know, not deaden it to like dead ball era in the
right.
1915s. But I would be surprised if they end up deadening it a little bit.
One more controversy is, what's your opinion on the mercy rule in Major League Baseball after Aaron Boone's comments? What do you think about that, about a mercy rule? Would
you know,
work?
I think. I don't think so. I mean, what are we, Little League? Come on. I saw those comments from Aaron Boone, and the manager of the New York Yankees, nonetheless. I think teams need to get better. I think, you know, this didn't even come up until we're in this era now of, you know, clubs don't want to be in the middle. You know, you have to be, if you're not going to be a contender, you know, as you've seen, people follow the Houston Astros model, and you get if you're not going to be a contender, you know, you get the Orioles and the Miami Marlins and the, you know, Detroit Tigers ripping things down to the base and starting over. And, I mean, there's so many teams right now that are so bad, and it's not good for the product. And, you know, I don't know how, you know, when you look at this, that, I mean, attendance is down for like a fourth year in a row. And, you know, it's a great game. I've covered it for 30 years or so. I mean, I've invested my life in it. I think it's the greatest game around. But there's some things going on right now that I think they need to clean up. And, you know, however you change the rules to incentivize teams to not lose to the extent they're losing, I think they need to take a hard look at that. And I would say the mercy rule for me is within that. I mean, you know, I get it that Aaron Boone doesn't want relievers to pitch, and nor does Alex Cora. He came out and said something similar the other day, Boston's manager. And it's all position players pitching that it's become they're too. When it used to happen a couple times a year, it'd be kind of funny, you know, mm-hmm. people to enjoy it. But I mean, it's like almost every week, multiple times now, and it's not a good look for the game. I don't blame the managers. Or not, you know, for being worried about their position guys going to the mound and getting hurt. But, you know, I mean, I could probably go on another hour on this one. And I won't. I don't worry. But the way pitchers are being developed plays into this, I think, as well. And I should say the way they're not being developed. I mean, you know, we've got openers now. We've got starting pitchers that unless you're Justin Verlander or Max Scherzer, you rarely see a starter go past the fifth or sixth inning. And it's so it consequently clubs need to, you know, they need about 70% of their roster, it seems like, has to be pitchers these days. And then you still run out of pitchers. You know, I think it's mismanagement. Clubs aren't developing pitchers all the way around. So anyway, that's what I think of the mercy rule idea.
No, thank you very much, because I totally agree with everything.
You know, you talk about the attendance figures that are dipping in the last 4 years or so. Is there still a problem, do you think, Major League Baseball targeting the younger people, younger generation? Are they still not buying into baseball maybe like, you know, 30 years ago?
You know, that could be. I'm not sure. I mean, there are probably a number of reasons for the attendance. I think some of it is what I just laid out. I think, I mean, if you're in Baltimore and the Yankees come to town, you know, why would you ever buy a ticket to a game to see the Yankees win, you know, 18-2 and hit seven more home runs and have your local Orioles, you know, look like the Bad News Bears? I mean, I think there's some competitive imbalance that plays into it. I do think, you know, I agree that baseball needs to hook the millennials or whatever you want to call them anymore. I mean, every sport, every generation, right? You've got to be attractive to the next generation of young fans coming up because they're the future. Mm-hmm. So I don't mind baseball trying to do that, but I think that, to me, there's a battle for baseball's soul going on right now, you know, between some of the rapid-fire changes we've seen in the last few years. You know, many brought on by analytics, some of the stuff we talked about, the way, you know, the pitching is handled, et cetera, et cetera. Some of the analytics versus some of the old-school stuff. You know, I think that's, to me, at the heart of kind of a battle, what I call battle for baseball soul, because, you know, right now it's hard to please everybody. And, you know, you've got the old school fans that are the purists of the game that have been there forever. Some of them embrace analytics. Some of them don't. You're turning some of them off by analytics. But yet you look at analytics and it's a very smart way to do things. So why not use analytics? And then, you know, you get, you know, old fans versus new fans, and some people like it, some people don't. Anyway, there are a number of reasons, and I don't know that it's just baseball trying to aim for the kids. You know, one thing with the kids, I mean, I don't know if this is the case. I mean, I'm sure several studies would have to be done, but, you know, we've talked for years about baseball being short-sighted and doing so many things just to grab the money, right? The TV contracts they sign. I mean, and for the last couple of decades, 20, 30 years now, since the strike, baseball's done a marvelous job of raking in the money, right? It's a $12 billion industry right now or whatever it is. And that's all very, very important. You know, opening new ballparks had a big effect with that. You know, the TV rights. But within that, you know, they let TV run the game, and we've talked, you know, I mean, there hasn't been a day World Series game since, I think, 1984, maybe 85. I think 84 was it. So we've also had a whole generation of fans grow up where when they were at school age, they never saw the end of a World Series game because they were playing at 1 or 2 or 3 in the morning. And so whereas some of the older baseball fans, you know, they go back to like in October, you know, racing home from school to see a World Series game, and they have these indelible memories in their brain that help them become passionate baseball fans. You know, for the last couple of decades, the World Series, you know, young fans have been able to see, you know, the first couple innings of the game, and then they all have to go to bed, even adults, because they have to go to work. And you know, I would venture to say, I don't know what the percentage is, but maybe even, might not be 50%, but I'm going to say it's at least, you know, 10% of the reason for declining attendance is that there's not these collective memories of the World Series and key October moments the way fans that grew up with the game in the 60s, 70s, and 80s have them.
Although I got to make a correction. I remember game six of the World Series between the Twins and Cardinals was a 3 o'clock start because my car got stalled on Hennepin Street in a bad area of Minneapolis after the game. I remember.
So that covered was that 87.
Game. Yeah, 87. I covered
World Series. So,
yeah, I covered that series. Yeah, I covered that series in Minneapolis. Yeah. But I remember it was a 3 o'clock start.
Day game. Okay.
Yeah, Juan Baring Air, I think, was the starting pitcher.
That was one of the last of the day game starts, and I would venture to see. I think once we hit, say, 1990, we we haven't had any.
Yeah.
Scott, thanks a lot, man. Thanks for waking up early with us.
Hey, Scott.
You got it, guys.
Good
enjoyed
stuff.
The conversation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's Scott Miller. You could find his work over at Bleacher Report, where he covers baseball nationally, as well as Turner Sports and Sirius XM MLB Network Radio. He joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.